Okay, thank you all for joining us. I may have said this last time when I introduced Rabbi Winter, so you'll be Moichelvi. If anyone does remember, it's your problem. Because usually they say at Dvar Torah, you could say 5 minutes later an introduction, for sure. But the truth of the matter is that it's a, you know, usually this Musravad is dedicated to Zoom, to have only people that we can't have, that we don't have close by. We see them on Zoom, whatever it is, we're reaching the far corners. But the truth of the matter is, when you think about it, that just like there's a mitzvah of Mipsarcha al Tesalim to help your family member before somebody else, then when it's Chayecha Kaidin, when it's all about what you should benefit, so we should lose out because our winter lives just down the road. And Mamela, as for those who were here last time, they already know who Rabbi Winter is to a certain degree. But it's a schus for us to have you again, Rabbi Winter. I appreciate you coming out late at night. And we look forward to hearing some Divrei Chizuk.
Very dangerous to drive now. I was driving on the highway, and every single car you look in, somebody's looking at their phone. It's a crazy thing. I don't know how I even made it from Chesterfield to not getting killed. At night, you see it because it's people don't value their lives. It's nothing to do with the speech, but it was just hitting me that
it's for real.
Thank you, Rabbi Berkowitz. This is an amazing community in so many ways. Just the whole structure of it that you have, you know, the Rav, Rabbi Greenblatt, Marta Asra here, and so many other Rabbanim and Rashi Kolel and people working for the community under the auspices of really started off as the Aguda. It's an amazing, just an amazing model of what a Torah community is supposed to look like. And just after doing this job as a rabbi for a few years, you know, there's nothing as valuable as somebody that had experience and somebody that's been connected to the earlier generations. You know, young Rabbanim are great, but it does not replace the value of people with experience. With Balabatim, with, I assume it's like this in law firms and in doctors as well, but surely it is with like this with leaders. People that have shaykhis with the previous generation are so far above and beyond in Midos and Halacha and Ashkafa, and the fact that New City has this amazing just conglomerate of so many different B'nai Torah and multi-generational. Rabbi Greenblatt at the head over here is something very, very special. I'm just going to share a few ideas. How long do we go? Do I officially have 10 minutes? 10 to 14 minutes. I'm going to share a few thoughts, a few ideas. I don't think anything here is new. It's some ideas that I think are definitely relevant to the end of Pesach, leading the way to Shavuos. Sphiris Omer, Lag Bomer, perhaps everything this everyone has heard before, but just some thoughts that I've been that have been hitting me lately. I saw this amazing medrash that brings down the Musar Sfarim bring it down, but I saw it inside. You know, I came across it, and I thought it says a lot that the medrash asks why did the Jewish people, why did Klal Yisrael have to suffer by the hands of the Ayvim and the hands of the enemies in Mitzrayim? And it's one of the questions that you'll look through Chazal. There's so many different reasons. But this one really, really hit me. It says, because Hayibnei Amos Mevazin Bnei Shvachos. The children of Rachel and Leah were Mevazin the Bnei Shvachos. They didn't have the proper respect for the children of Bilhah and Zilpah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is Kasha Ma'od Be'enai Hashem. Hashem said, this is very difficult in my eyes that the children of Yaakov Avinu should not have the highest respect, and that there should be some sort of, God forbid you even say something like, a little bit of an elitist mentality of the children of Rachel and Leah, that they don't fully have the proper kavod for the rest of the Mishpacha, was very difficult for Hashem. So Hashem said, what am I going to do? Oritem lemitzrayim v'yakulam avadim. I'm going to bring them down to Egypt. They'll all be avadim. In Egypt, there's going to be no hierarchy. Pharaoh's not going to discriminate based on who's the children of Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah. He's not going to be any, you know, no one's going to care anymore. We don't know what's everyone going to be in Egypt. Kulam avadim l'pharaoh. in Egypt, everyone's going to be the same. We're all going to be avadim to Paro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this plan, L'adu laso shalom b'im b'riyosa. Hashem brought them down to Egypt in order that he should restore the shalom in Klal Yisrael, and people should understand how important that is to his children. It's reminiscent of the story of the Klausenberger Rebbe that he said after the Holocaust is one thing that he missed. He missed the fact when they were standing in line in the death marches, everyone was shaved, didn't have any clothes, he didn't have a beard. He said, at that one moment, I wasn't a Rebbe, and that guy wasn't a Baal Bas, and this person wasn't a Chashev person from Yichas, and this person wasn't a Chassid or a Litvak. We were all just Yidden. There was nothing else defining us. The other stories that people said over, that Hitler was the greatest Rebbe to teach Klal Yisrael that a Jew is a Jew. And to see this in Chazal, to me, was just so remarkable, that this was exactly the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Sheba Mitzrayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to teach the children of Yaakov Avinu to raise up their darga of respect. Now, there's something that a little bit bothered me about this chazal. Because there's a story of my uncle. He said over that once he was in a shul, and the rabbi said the brothers of Yaakov Avinu, the brothers of Yosef, were bloodthirsty animals. True story. So my uncle was sitting in the back of the shul, and he had to have two friends hold him down from decking the rabbi. And he almost did. He was a big, strong guy. He says, you're talking about the Shiftei Kav, bloodthirsty cuss. That could even come out of your mouth. So when you look at this medrash in that light, when we understand that Rashi says that the Shvatim were tzaddikim, what does it mean that they were mavazim each other, that they embarrassed each other? And the way that you learn a chazal, you understand that if it meant something, it was in the most slight, slight type of way. Something that we would have not, it would have been imperceptible to our eye. Somewhere in the way that they treat, there was a little bit of a lack of kavod. Okay, so let's take that as it may. So Hashem, is that worth 210 years of Mitzrayim? If it was just a small little infraction of kavod, is that worth it? 210 years of suffering? Truth is, you could ask the same question by the, we're in the time of Sfiras HaOmer. We know that the students of Rabbi Akiva, famously, the reason why they died, 24,000, was Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh Zeh. They didn't have kavod Zeh Zeh. Everybody has a shtickle Torah, exactly what that means. Whatever happened to the Pashup Shah? They were just not Nagu Kavod Zeh Zeh. So my father used to say, he used to bring it up, said, what do you think they were doing to each other? You know, we think when one of them got up to speak, somebody went like this and started opening up a safer and they started laughing at each other. That's not what happened. These were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the Haftal Re'echa Kamocha. What do you think they were doing? They didn't have cover for each other when someone, they were throwing tomatoes at each other. Like, what do you think was happening? Kodesh HaKadoshim, these were Tanayim. These were the people that Rabbi Akiva thought they were going to be the transmission of Torah. So what was it? Again, say the same idea. There was a little bit of a lack of kavod. Perhaps the way that they greeted each other, a little lack of warmth in the way that they would say Shalom Aleichem or say Yasher Koach. It was something that was on their madrega there, but for us it would have been so slight we wouldn't have even noticed it. Trust me, they danced at each other's simchas, they respected each other, they came to each other's chaburas, there was mutual love and respect there. So what does the Gemara mean? It means that on their madrego was subtle. But is that worth the death of 24,000 Talmidim? A loss that we're still reeling from today? The Mesorah of Klal Yisrael would be different if we had that. So Hashem, okay, so figure out a different way to fix the Talmidim. You have a problem with the brother, with the children of Yaakov, you know, forget the Sheba Mitzrayim. You're going to send them to the hands of Paro because there's a little bit of a lack of respect between each other? That's Kedaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can't Moshe Rabbeinu go up and give a shmooze and get, the achdus back? You know, have Rabbi Akiva give a fiery, passionate speech about, v'haftol re'echa kamocha, going to kill 24. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? So I think what you have to say is the way that Rabban Kollar used to bring it out and many of the other Bali Musar. I was one time putting a pizza in my oven while trying to hold one of my children, while balancing a phone over here. And I'm trying to do a pizza, and I moved my hand a little bit and burnt my hand on the coil. And it really, really hurt. But I said to myself, Baruch Hashem, I have a drasha. Only a rabbi thinks like that. Why do I have a drasha? Because Rav Chaim Shmuel Levis used to say that when you're dealing with Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, it's like sticking your hand in a fire. You stick your hand in fire, you get burnt. There's nothing you can do. There's some sort of hakbada that Hashem has between Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. That even the slightest movement of your hand up down, right, left, if you're going to touch the coal and you're going to hurt somebody, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is a fire. It's going to burn. Bein Adam L'Makom, certain ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bimochel, if it was an onase, you know, if you didn't, perhaps you didn't mean to do it, but when it comes to hurting another human being, there's very little room. And I think even more than that, to explain these chazal, who are we talking about? We're talking about Yaakov Avinu's family. These were the people that were tasked with transmission of Torah. And Rav Aaron Kotler says that it's not just Stam, you know, they didn't have meat, they didn't have covet for each other, but you cannot transmit Torah if they're the ones that being going to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Mesorah from Rabbi Akiva, the Midos have to be perfect, the Achdus have to be perfect. There was no margin of error. Otherwise, there would be something a little bit faulty in the way that they were giving over the Hashkafas Achayim, and even their Torah would have been tainted. Their Torah wouldn't have been the same. You need to have that Achdus in order to be able to have the understanding to how to transmit Torah correctly. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking at, it's true, when he was looking at Yaakov Avinu's children and he saw this imperceptible, you know, lack of respect between each other, he said, I can't have the future of Klal Yisrael built upon that. They have to go to Egypt. I can't. We need to start Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It can't be anything else, at least in the beginning. And Rabbi Akiva's coming in the same way. When it comes to starting the Torah of the Mesorah from Rabbi Akiva, these cannot be the Talmidim. Maybe for you, me, and you, there wouldn't have been an Avera. But for them, they're the ones that are being responsible to give over Rabbi Akiva's Torah. There has to be perfect. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is a fire. You cannot have any left or right. It has to be perfect. It has to be perfect. I saw an amazing Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma says that when Klal Yisrael got to the banks of the Yamsuf, the banks of the Red Sea, so used to hearing my father speak to Balabatan, that are not B'nai Torah, so everything has to be translated. He stands on the banks of the Yamsuf, of the Red Sea. All of a sudden, the Satan, you know, the Malach HaMavos, he came down and he started to want to drown the Jewish people in the Yamsuf with the Mitzrim. What did he say, the Medrash says? He said that you're saving Hashem, you're saving Klal Yisrael. They wrote the Avodah Zarah the same way the Mitzrim are. And it was a whole Din Torah in Shemayim whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to save the Jewish people over the Egyptians. Because it's Taka right, they were both of the Avodah Zarah. So Meshech Chachma asks, where was the Satan in Egypt by Dam Sfardeya Kin Aruch Demer Shechet? Why now, just by the Yamsuf? Where was the Satan when there was Machus Bechoros? We don't see any Chazal that when Hashem was passing over the Jewish people's households, we don't see that the Satan came to Hashem, go into their house as well. The only time we see this is by Kriyas Yamsuf. Where was the Satan? So Meshech Chachma says, what happened at the banks of the Yamsuf, the banks of the Red Sea? He brings down the Chazal that says that they started to fight with each other in Ashkafa of what they're supposed to do. Different groups started to form. Some said, let's go back to Egypt. Some said, let's fight the Egyptians. Some said, let's go into the Yamsuf. Some said, let's daven. Everyone started to have. He says, in Egypt, there was perfect Achdus. He says, the Meshech Chachma says, they were Ovim Zayim. In Egypt, they were Ovim Avodah Zarah, but they loved each other. There was Milas Chesed. There was perfect Achdus there. And that's why they were zochah to be saved, even though they were Ovim Avodah Zarah. But when they got to the Yamsuf, they forgot the message. We're just supposed to love each other. We're supposed to have that achdus. They start to fight with each other again. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's why he gave the mouth of the Satan. He actually says, obviously, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah is the worst on an individual basis. But when it comes to Gehila, there's nothing as dangerous as a lack of achdus, divisiveness. In fact, the Yalkut Shimoni says that when Klal Yisrael got out of Egypt, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litenes HaTorah, Hashem wanted to give them the Torah right then. We're waiting right now 49 days to get the Torah because Klal Yisrael waited 49 days. But the Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litenes HaTorah, he wanted to give the Torah right away, right after Kriyas Yamsuf. But why did he date? Why did he wait? He says, because Yesh Machlokas Beinehem. There was still a little bit of fighting. So we have to wait and wait and schmooze after schmooze of Moshe Rabbeinu to rebuild the Achlas until one moment in history. Vayichan Sham Yisrael says HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally is perfect Achlas. Now they deserve the Torah because the Torah is Kula Shalom. I can only give it to a nation that's Ovim Shalom. It's the words of the Alkut Shimon. I can only give the Torah to a nation that purely loves Shalom. That's the moment that they were able to receive the Torah. So you see, just the entire, from the going down into Mitzrayim, it was because of the lack of Achlas. They had to rebuild the Achdus. The Chabad Chaim says they were only Zocha to be taken out because they repaired whatever subtle lack there was. They repaired it. And then they were able to get out. And then at the Yom Suf again, they start to fight again. And that's why the Satan opened up his mouth again. And then they have to work on it, build it back up to be able to get the Torah on Shavuos, to be able to stand by our Sinai. They need that. You see, this is the story. This is the story of Klal Yisrael as a nation. Just one thought. One thought. When I give this over, this idea, I get the feeling a little bit that people start to think, you know what this means? Hey, this means we need to run to, you know, all the other shuls and yeshivas and make shalom between every single, you know, chelik line. That's certainly true. We have to start, you know, being more respectful of the chassidim and the litvish and the yu and the this and the that. That's what everybody thinks. And I think that's a certain element of truth to what this chazal is saying. We can't care so much about what color yarmulke a guy's wearing or, you know, and that's 100% a certain message of what we see here. That Kadosh Baruch Hu has to, wants us to treat a Jew like a Jew. I think the message is deeper. I think the message is deeper. People will come over to me and say, you know what, let's figure out a way to make more aftas in St. Louis. And I think we do. But what about the aftas with the guy sitting next to you in shul? What about the aftas of the guy, of your neighbor? What about the aftas of the person literally in your dalet amos that you've decided, you know, I don't really like him that much, not really my family. You know, those people, the people that are closest to you. It's a beautiful idea brought down by Reb Hanoch Leibowitz, by Moshe Rabbeinu. He brings down that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Aaron HaKohen by involved in the Egel Azav, Moshe Rabbeinu had a little bit of a taina. And obviously Hashem explained it to Moshe. He said, Aaron, he was just trying to save Klal Yisrael. But the pasuk says, V'yata hakrev elefes Aaron, said, I want you to bring Aaron close to you. And he brings down the medrash over here that Hashem wanted to clarify it again to Moshe Rabbeinu that Aaron, you have to love him more than you love him right now and realize that everything he does was the same shame shemayim. And he went through a whole process to try to explain it to him to rebuild the shalom between Aaron and Moshe. So the Rosh Yeshiva brought down how much of a lack there was of shalom between Aaron and Moshe. It must have been imperceptible. And they loved each other. They were their own brothers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a hakbada that two brothers should love each other. That it was worth it to take out a whole pasuk, a whole commandment to Moshe Rabbeinu to rebuild whatever shalom that he... They obviously... Aaron explained what he did to Moshe and Moshe understood it and he loved him. But Hashem still said, it's not enough. I want you to rebuild it even before, the same way it was before. And what we see from here is that there's a tremendous value in even the people closest to us. Our family, our friends, our people that we daven, that we sit next to. You know, we'll worry about Klal Yisrael eventually. But let's first start with our own family. Your brother, your sister, your parents. The rabbi. The achdus of your habrusa. The people closest to you. Work on that. That'll go a very, very long way. Kadosh Baruch Hu was makbid on the shalom between Moshe and Aaron. Trust me, they had more shalom than we could have ever imagined. Kadosh Baruch Hu was makbid of our shalom, even the people closest. There's a lot of value there also. Mirz Hashem, if we start within our closest gehilas, and we rebuild the love that we're supposed to have with our friends, the ones that are the most similar to us, the people that we're davening with, the people that are in our own community, start to rebuild that. Don't just say it's good enough. It's not a Torah de Gashkafa, good enough. We don't believe in that. Not when it comes to Achdus. There's one thing that I've seen throughout my short time preparing, going through Bali Musar every week, trying to prepare drushas, which I don't know how anybody does this long term. It's tasking. But one thing I see is that Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu has two very important Achdus. Number one is that we're learning Torah. Yet Chabrus doesn't even learn. And the second thing is that no matter how much you learn, if you don't have achdus, it's going to be worth very little. And there's some sort of superpower of achdus and shalom that's so integral to Hashem's world that the only way we can get out of Mitzrayim and prepare ourselves for Shavuos is if we go above and beyond and remove even the imperceptible, you know, subtle types of dislikes or annoyances that we have with other people. The only way that we're going to be able to stand on Shavuos and say we're ready to accept the Torah is we work on ourselves to removing those even small things, even with the people close to us. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for listening. Mirz Hashem, you should all have a Chag Hashem Sameach. I don't see you again before Shavuos. We continue to grow together for many years to come. Amen. Thank you.